campaign local 901 at 11. We're going to get to some quick underwriting and then we're going to jump into In the Know.
WEFT is supported in part by Kevin Elliott Counseling. Elliott Counseling Group has 35 counselors providing mental health services for individuals, families, couples, children, and groups. Evening and weekend appointments are often available immediately. Virtually all insurance, including State of Illinois employee insurance, is accepted, and there is also a self-pay sliding scale. Kevin Elliott or his staff can be reached at 398-9066 or ELLIOTTCounselingGroup.com.
You are listening to WEFT 90.1 Champaign. This is In the Know, a public affairs radio show where we really talk about a lot of different topics, just so you, the listener, can be in the know about what's going on in your own community. The opinions expressed on the show are those of the host and the guests and not of WEFT. Tonight, I have one of our local organizations that I'm pretty sure everybody has heard of, but may not always know the history behind it. And it's always also good to know exactly what each of the organizations is currently working on. So I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves. They're both from the Junior League of Champaign-Urbana. We'll start over here.
Hi, my name is Denise Poindexter, and I am the president of our local chapter of the Junior League of Champaign-Urbana.
I am London Blake. I'm currently the executive vice president.
And so when we talk about the JCLU again, I think everybody has heard of the JCLU, at least if you've been in Champaign a good amount of time. But we don't always know exactly what, you know, why this organization was created. And then even sometimes we know that our organization's, the mission is to help the community, but there are specific things, you know, that are included in your mission that are very, you know, again, specific to you. So why don't you guys tell me a little bit about, you know, what brought about the JCLU? What's your mission?
Absolutely. So the Junior League has actually been in this community since 1932, and it's an organization for women, and we are committed to promoting volunteerism and developing the potential of women. And our focus area is really centered on school readiness for children. We focus on things that prepare the children to succeed in school. So a lot of our projects are really focused on eliminating any barriers that prevent them from being focused on school.
So. In addition with that, we have a host of projects that we really fine-tune to get things in that direction. We have a Bright Starts program. It's a preschool at night for any individuals that may be on the waiting list. We provide dinner and childcare, and along with that, we partner with Don Moyer's Boys and Girls Club. And then Dream House is our most recent partner. So with Kids in the Kitchen, we focus on healthy living, eating, things like that to really help them, you know, prepare their brains and bodies for learning in school.
So you talked about, you know, school readiness. What have we seen over the years then that would make us believe that we need these other supplemental supports when it comes to school readiness?
Absolutely. So we decided to start our initiative Bright Starts because we had learned that there was a really long waiting list for children to actually enter into Head Start. And so if they don't already have that that resource available to them, they are already behind by the time that they hit kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to tackle that waiting list and then also other children that don't necessarily meet the requirements to have a pre-K education. And so we partner with the Urbana Early Childhood Education Center, and they've been absolutely amazing to help us develop the curriculum and provide the preschool at night for children and their families. So it is a family opportunity. So children that are ages 3 to 4 that are getting ready to go to kindergarten can come. And we divide the parents and the children. So there's a session for the children to learn, you know, basic information. But we also share that information with the parents as well so they can reinforce what the children have learned at home.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think that there is such, a bigger demand than there is service available? Because you said this is for those who are on a wait list. So what are we seeing in our local education system that's causing that?
I just don't think there is enough resources available. We have a really large community. There are, you know, lots of families that are here because it's a great place to raise your family. But unfortunately, there are just not enough affordable options for a lot of people. And those that are a little bit more affordable or free, is just not enough space for children to be able to participate.
Nice. And so how long has Bright Start been going on?
4 years.
Yes.
About 4 years.
Wow. And do you know roughly like how many kids you've served?
So we have served roughly, I would say, 250 children.
Wow.
And so the need is becoming so great for our Bright Starts program that we have actually opened up our Bright Starts program to community volunteers. We think it's a great way to learn more about Junior League, see what we do one-on-one, and also you get to volunteer in the community if you're interested in that. And so we do have those shifts up and ready on our website if anyone's interested in volunteering with us for Bright Starts for the year.
And do they need to have any specific educational background or experience, or just a love for helping kids with education?
A love for helping children, patience to help children, and flexibility in your schedule.
Well, I mean, I think that's great because sometimes people, I think, don't see the forest for the trees. They don't realize that this early intervention is really what pays off in dividends in our community later on when we have educated individuals who are contributing, who are actively involved. But it has to start somewhere. They have to have the right springboard to do that. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's really important for these types of programs. So what other type of things do you do to support local schools and students?
So aside with the Bright Starts program, we actually have what is called a Community Assistance Fund grant. And any nonprofit in the community can apply for our grant. We do have schools that apply for the grant for school supplies, backpacks, things like that. We just help try to support the teachers or any educators in the community, kind of bridge that gap for things they may not be able to purchase themselves or they don't have any funding for.
Especially like some of the after school programs as well, or some new initiative that they want to get off the ground, but doesn't necessarily have the funds or the resource to support it.
Mm-hmm. So looking on the website, you guys have a lot of stuff going on.
We do.
So there it says a done in a day and done in a meeting.
Yeah.
So what does that do? That sounds really ambitious. Like, hey, one meeting and we're good.
I wish it was that easy. But what we do is partner with other organizations in the community that might be looking for volunteers. And that's done in a day. So they'll connect with us and say, hey, we have this great event that we're hosting on one particular day. Can you provide us with volunteers?
Oh, wow.
And so we will connect with our members and provide volunteer shifts for that organization.
Mm-hmm.
And when done in a meeting, another organization may say, hey, we really need school supplies, or we really need some feminine products for whatever event we're trying to collect items for. And so during our meetings, we will ask our members to bring those items and we'll donate it to the organization.
I wish there was more of that because, you know, my background is as a social worker and a therapist, and I feel like if there was more collaboration across organizations, there would be more efficiency in the community, because a lot of times volunteers, you know, they just want to be involved in something. They might hook into one organization, but they would be open to helping another organization, even if it's not becoming a regular full-time volunteer. So I think that's one of those, you know, things that we could do better. So it's great to see an organization taking that initiative and seeing that need to be more efficient in the community. And so when it comes to like the different types of volunteer opportunities, again, is that limited to certain things, or is it just, hey, here's an organization, this is their need, or this is what they need volunteers for?
It varies. We really try to connect with organizations that is in line with our mission and our goals that we're trying to accomplish for the year. But we totally understand that there are some organization that might need an immediate need. And if it's anything that we can do to assist, we will definitely do it, because our focus area is really broad. Like we say school readiness, but for us, school readiness means children are not cold, so they need coats.
Right.
They need a home. You know, they need all of the other things besides a book to read or a pen or, you know, any other school supply. So we try to think about it as a family unit and not just the individual child.
Yeah, I had someone on, Beverly Baker from United Way, and we were talking a couple weeks
she's
ago.
She's amazing, by the way.
Yeah, I love her. She always has somewhere to put you where you can get the help you need. But we were talking, you know, I think, again, some people don't quite see the connectedness of need. So when she was talking about the new diaper bank that they have, the United Way, which I'm so excited about. But, you know, people think that, okay, for instance, if I want to address gun violence, that's so overwhelming. Where would I even start? How would I even get, plugged in the community? But it could be as simple as making sure this diaper bank is strong, because it could be that, you know, a father is on the street, you know, involved in illegal activity for no other reason than he's trying to provide for his family. And that may mean that he's involved in gun violence. So it may not seem like a diaper bank is connected with addressing gun violence, but it's all connected.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I try to put that in people's ears when I say, you know, if you want to address gun violence, there's so many ways to do it because it's all connected. You know, like you were saying, it should be a holistic approach where, you know, this child needs to have everything in order to be able to move in any direction, really.
Absolutely. And that's why we also connect with the Eastern Illinois Food Bank as well, because if they're hungry and they're sitting in the classroom, I mean, imagine, I think about myself being hungry at work sometimes and I can't focus. I'm angry. Why are people talking to me? So I think about a child who not necessarily may have the vocabulary to express, I'm just really hungry, you know, or I'm really sleepy. I wasn't able to sleep well last night because it's 15 of us in one small apartment or whatever the case may be. So I think it's really important that we think about those little things that's preventing our children from learning and being successful in the classroom.
And I think it also, you know, access, because there is a lot of stigma around poverty and asking for help, and that can be really hard to do. You know, when they started the Feeding Our Kids program in the schools, I thought that was great, but they also make it so it's not, you know, something that's an obvious help that's being, you know, that's happening. So kids can know that that's coming, they have food for the weekend, but it's not necessarily something promoted to the rest of their, you know, their peers.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I think that's great. Okay. So moving back a little bit. So tell me about yourselves. Tell me, you know, your backgrounds, because we always, I think when people think JCLU, obviously it is the cream of the crop, but it really is something for everybody. You know, we need backgrounds from everybody, I think, when we're doing volunteer work, no matter the organization, to provide that perspective. So tell me about your backgrounds, you know, what, you know, where you got to this point that you're, you know, doing the jobs that you're doing, and then why you got involved with the JCLU.
Absolutely. You want to start, Linda?
Oh, sure. So I'm originally from Bloomington Normal, and I graduated from Eastern Illinois. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, you know, I want to go back home, but at the same time, I'm really enjoying being in Champaign. I love Champaign. It's very similar to Bloomington. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay here, just, you know, kind of see where Champaign takes me. And then I ended up trying to figure out, I need to get more involved in the community. What can I do? And it just happened that summer was the first Junior League social of the year. And I went and I met Denise, actually. So
you're welcome. You're welcome.
So I feel like with Junior League, it's a great organization to really help you find yourself and find your friends. And I mean, some of my best friends are literally, I met in Junior League. And because of Junior League, you know, we've been afforded so many different opportunities. Some individuals have gotten jobs from another person in Junior League, branched off into other nonprofit organizations in town. So I would encourage anyone that is thinking about coming to one of our summer socials. Our next one is this Thursday, actually. Just come, because you never know where Junior League might take you.
Mm-hmm. My story is a little similar. I am originally from Arkansas, born and raised, and I moved to this community a little over 9 years ago, and I wanted to be really intentional to meet people and also get involved in the community because I just have a heart for giving back and, you know, being a servant leader, just mainly because of my faith, and that's something that's really important to me. And so I moved here over the summer, again, got connected to a summer social, and I met some amazing people and started getting involved. I do always tell people, though, when I first joined Junior League, I did not enjoy my first couple of years. It took me a moment to really get connected and find my path through the organization and really fully understand the impact that we're making in the community. So it wasn't until maybe my second or third year. We have different committees that our members are placed on, and I was placed on project development. And that's when I learned about all of our projects, past, present, and then what we could do in a future. And I realized we are making a real impact in Champaign-Urbana. And then that's when I fell in love with Junior League. And ever since then, I've been totally connected. I've met some amazing women. I am one of those that my current job with Stratum, I reached out to someone I met through Junior League asking for professional advice. And she said, let me get you connected to my colleague. And next thing you know, I have a job offer. And I'm like, oh, I was just seeking advice. And now I have a totally new job, which is amazing. And then like London said, a lot of our members have been able to go on and start their own nonprofit organization in a community, sit on boards for other organizations in the community, and just continue to develop and grow professionally.
So as long as you've been involved with Junior League, what's your favorite experience so far?
That's a good one. Favorite experience. I'm going to answer that two ways.
Okay.
I will say my favorite experience has probably been a Festival of Trees, which is one of our largest fundraisers. It happens the weekend before Thanksgiving, so go ahead and mark your calendars for that. But it is such a fun event because you walk into this space, and before then, my mind is not set on the holiday. But when I walk in, there's all of these trees and wreaths that community organizations have decided to make a commitment to our organization so that we can continue to give back. And it's just a beautiful space. And then the community comes out and you see all these children that are there participating, maybe in their like school choir, because we have entertainers that are there, and just the excitement around it. So that's probably been one of my favorite. And the reason I want to answer that in two parts is because I think my favorite part about Junior League hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. We are starting a new initiative this year, and it's called the Little Black Dress Initiative that I'm super excited about. It is an advocacy campaign that we are starting, and it's to bring awareness on the issue of the barriers to developing the full potential of our women that have other things that are preventing them from being successful, whether they are in recovery, right? Or if they're trying to reenter into society from being incarcerated or things like that. So we want to bring awareness to those particular issues and provide whatever kind of support or resources that we can. We're going to, and I hope they already know that we're committed to partnering with them, but we in recovery. Do they know? Okay, I was like, this is going to be a shocker if they don't know. But we are going to connect with them to collect donations, as well as like gently use professional clothing items that we can give to these women, so that's one less thing that they have to think about when they're trying to reenter into society. Mm-hmm. So that is going to be so amazing and exciting for me because it's something that's really heartfelt, and I just feel really connected to helping other women and just alleviating some barriers that mm-hmm. they might not even realize that it is a barrier, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite experience, I would have to say, I love all things Junior League, but hands down favorite, definitely the conferences. Whenever I go to a conference, I just come back with a million more ideas, and it's just to really encourage our members and help our members to really brainstorm on ways that we can help the community. We get the opportunity to connect with junior leagues from the United States, Canada, Mexico, and the United Kingdom. So it's just a great place to brainstorm and bring our ideas to other leagues too. So
London is the member that actually reads the bylaws.
I pretty much have them memorized.
We will randomly receive an email from her on a Saturday night that says, I was casually reading the bylaws and it states that. And we're like, okay, first of all, why are you spending your Saturday night reading Junior League bylaws? But thank you.
That's funny. Well, it sounds like, you know, again, there's a lot of ways once you're involved to really find that piece that speaks to you, that you can get involved. Like, so what are the other committees that are available for a Junior League member?
So we have, London is probably better at this, we have Bright Starts and Kids in the Kitchen, which were two that we just previously discussed. We have, it's no longer called Project Development, but it's called Impact, which is fairly new. Two, three years that we've started Impact. And what we do is that we ask nonprofit organizations to submit an application to be our partner for the year. And what we do is that entire year we fundraise for them on their behalf. We collect any type of items that they need to support their organization. And we also connect with them to help, like, maybe advance or build their infrastructure if they're fairly new, an opportunity for one of our league members maybe to serve on their board for a year. So it's a really collaborative effort. This year, our partner organization with Impact is Sistering CU, which is a phenomenal organization. We're really excited to have that partnership. Festival Trees is another committee. Help me out, London. I'm staring at you.
We also have, we call a membership development committee. So that, I would say, is the backbone of our whole organization. During that new member year, you learn the history of Junior League. You learn why we do the things we do. What is the impact we're trying to make? And then it really sets the ladies up into going into their next years. It helps them, you know, kind of figure out, what is my interest level? What skills do I want to gain? Is there something that I want to stay away from? Because we do have individuals that are teachers, and they're like, hey, you know, I'm with students all day. Maybe I want to try something a little bit out of my comfort zone. And so we also have, it's called a placement committee. We have a set of advisors. Each member has an advisor that's like her go-to person, any concerns, suggestions, anything. They just make sure that they are doing everything to keep them on their Junior League trajectory.
And then we also have like traditional marketing and communications, mm-hmm. finance, all of mm-hmm. those traditional committees that most yes. organizations have.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, you know, even as, you know, people get you know, find their way in Junior League, there's ways to continue to foster and grow and broaden their horizons as far as what they're doing. Because, you know, what you mentioned earlier is a way to empower, you know, your volunteers. And how would you say, you know, that works, you know, over the years? What types of examples of empowerment have you seen with some of your members where maybe they walked in, you know, not necessarily having a voice, but as they, you know, move along, they're finding that voice to be involved in the community?
Absolutely. I tell most members, this is where you can come and fail and it's okay, right? Like, you can't fail at work. You can't fail at, you know, some other organizations that are a little bit, you know, different than us. Like, we want to develop your potential. So you can come and you can fail and not break the organization. So we're definitely there to support our women as they continue to grow and learn, you know, their passion and learn how to do something new. Because we do encourage them to try something different and help them step outside of their comfort zone a little bit. One particular person, this year is her first year active, and she is a big picture thinker. She is all about the ideas. And in her workplace, she doesn't necessarily get that support and or push to share her ideas. They're a little bit more structured, and she works for an organization that's, well, we want to do it how we've always done it. Whereas in junior league, she can throw out those ideas and we're all like, oh my God, that's so great. How can we make it work? And she is thriving. Like, she has shared with us on numerous occasions how she is excited that she took, you know, the next step to join our organization, because she just is creative and want to be able to share that side of her that she doesn't necessarily get to share in her workplace.
Amazing. So what are some of the other events that you have every year, or maybe are recently new?
Recently new, another one that I'm excited about is in March, we're going to host a leadership development conference, and it's really going to be focused on developing the potential of women. Again, that's just another part of our mission. In the past, we've held like a smaller workshop or seminar, but our goal this year is to make it a little larger and on a grander scale and make it a little bit more regional for women within the region to come and learn a little bit more about leadership development. So I'm really excited about that. That is March, the last weekend in March, 26th, 27th. Don't know right now, but around that time of the year.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about that. So, and then some things that we do annually, as I mentioned before, is the Festival of Trees. Again, that's the weekend right before Thanksgiving.
And what was the creative idea behind that? Because some people might not always think, okay, a Festival of Trees, where, how do you come up with that?
Right. You know, I'm not sure of the original concept, but Festival of Trees is one of those events that a lot of junior leagues across the nation actually host as well.
Okay.
So I don't believe it's something that Champaign-Urbana created, although it would have been nice if we had. I can't take, we can't take credit for that. But it, as I mentioned earlier, it is one of our largest fundraiser. And what we do is that local businesses and other organizations will sponsor a tree or a wreath, and we will decorate it for you, or they can decorate it, you know, themselves. But they're themed as well. And so we host it at one of the local hotels, and we have open hours for the community to come and to actually bid on the tree or the wreath. And at the end of Festival Trees, someone will be a lucky winner of a tree or wreath. And they're amazing. We have like a wine tree where they're like,
I saw that one
year. Lot of bottles of wine. There was one tree where there was like a diamond necklace that was the big giveaway. There was a money tree.
Harry Potter tree.
Harry Potter, princess, a stamp. We had one of our members actually sponsor a tree, and it was focused on the STEM fields. And so she had all these cool like books and science projects and things like that connected to the tree.
Nice. So, and I like about what makes our festival trees a little bit different is that we have all these other events inside of one really large event. So on Friday night, we have a family winter ball, which that is recently new. We're in our second year of that. We just really wanted to make it more inclusive to bring the whole family in so everyone's having fun. And then if dads want to bring their daughters, that's, we just want everyone to come and have a great time. And then we have a Santa breakfast. And then also recently new is our Community Impact Gala. So this is where we're inviting the whole community to participate. We want you, Champaign-Urbana, to come out, nominate any individuals, organizations that are really having a direct input on our community. We had such a wonderful turnout last year, and we have nominations. They're open right now until September 17th. And I don't know if anyone that's been to like 40 under 40, it's similar to that, except we get a little bit of longer time of networking. So we definitely encourage, put those nominations in.
Nice.
Yeah, you can go to our website at juniorleaguecu.org to find the nomination form. And also all of the other information that we've talked about today is on our website as well.
Nice. So there is one that talks about a trivia night. Do you still do a trivia night?
We do, which is so fun. I'm not great at trivia, but I love trivia. I have a influential personality, I like to say. When it's time to answer, I am very confident in my responses, but they're not always correct. Like, I just love trivia.
So take a gamble if you want her on your team.
That's funny. And then it also says you're hosting the That's What She Said after party. And I know that's a big event that's been, you know, successful the last several years.
Yes. So we typically to host the That's What She Said party, and we're doing that again this year. That's What She Said tickets are actually on sale right now at the Virginia. So definitely get those tickets. We will have information up soon about the after party. So, yes. And all of the proceeds actually go directly back to Junior League so we can continue supporting the projects in the community.
Nice. Yeah. The good thing about the money that we raise throughout the year is that our funds really do go back to support our projects. Like, our funds are not used for any overhead costs or any day-to-day operations. It all goes back to the community.
Nice. And so, kind of circling back around to, you know, how that money is used, it looks like there's, you know, some grants, some awards, some scholarships. Tell me more about those.
Yes. So our high school scholarships, we give out to the first female graduating student of each high school in town. And then we also award a first in the family scholarship. So we want to really make an impact on, you know, helping those students make this the next step. School books are expensive, and the great thing about the $500 check is it goes directly to the student, so they can use that money, whether it's for books, putting down a deposit for a dorm room, anything like that. We just didn't want to create any barriers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we work with the high school counselors, and they have their female students submit an application, and they make the decision at the high school on who to award the scholarship to.
Oh, nice.
We invite them to our end of the year annual meeting in May, and then that's where we will present them with their scholarship award.
Nice. And so the community awards, who are the recipients of those?
Any and everyone. London mentioned, this is fairly new, and the concept was started because we were thinking about all of the unsung heroes in our community that don't always get the recognition that they deserve, and we wanted to create a space for those individuals and organizations as well. And so we give out, is it 10 or 15 individual awards, and then 5 organization awards. And so it's a pretty good solid number, and mm-hmm. again, it goes to those individuals that are either silently making a really amazing impact or has continuously made an impact but hasn't necessarily received the recognition that they deserve.
Nice. And then there are community assistant fund grants.
Yep, that's the yes. CAF grants. Lovely. Okay, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So the CAF grants, those are awarded during the fall, and it's any nonprofit organization in town can apply for those. The application just really wants to focus on what funds are is the money going to be used for. They would prefer that it's going to direct projects, and it'll kind of help create that cushion while individuals are waiting for other bigger grants to come in.
Absolutely. And so what we prefer when individuals, organizations are submitting applications is that they are focused on, like, some of our focus areas that are listed within our position statements. And those include child protection and welfare, families, health, hunger, literacy, shelter, school preparedness, volunteerism, and women.
Oh, wow. So quite a spectrum there.
Quite a spectrum, yes. Which makes it challenging when reviewing those applications, because there are just lots of amazing organizations in our community that are doing great things. And unfortunately, we can't support everyone. And so it does make it a little challenging to narrow it down. But we do our best to try to award organizations that are not necessarily able to get some of the larger grant opportunities that are available.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's probably, I would imagine, influenced based on what's going on currently in the community, you know, locally, statewide, and even nationally, because, you know, we see a lot more in the headlines right now regarding gun violence and immigration. And so, you know, it's always trying to figure out who do we support, how do we support them, what's the best way to do it, because those are some large topics, you know, those are some very large topics. Has there ever been any discussion as far as specific committees to address certain topics, or is it just still, you know, kind of a broader helping the ones who are already doing the work?
So one of our committees is Leadership Development and Advocacy, which is a newly named committee. What we did was merge two committees, which was training committee as well as an advocacy, and we felt like that could go hand in hand. And so we do a little bit of advocacy work. While we are a non-political organization, we completely understand that sometimes there are things that are happening within our society that impacts our mission and our goal that we are trying to accomplish. And so there have been moments where we would do a letter writing campaign to our representatives to just share our viewpoint on some of the things going on.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Because there, I mean, there really are a lot of things that you can get involved with. But unfortunately, in this day and age, once you get involved, there's a certain insinuation of what political party are you aligning with because you're getting involved in this specific way. So if somebody is interested in coming, you know, and learning more about Junior League, tell me more about the socials that you have and really what you're trying to do in those socials.
So with the socials, it is a mix of active members, newly active members, sustainers, and our board and management team is also in attendance just to help answer any questions. Because a lot of times we get asked, well, I don't have time to join Junior League, so maybe this isn't for me right now. But we have recently changed our time commitment requirements to no time commitment requirements.
Oh, so, okay.
And so what that really means is that we want you to let us know what you can give to Junior League. We all have busy lives. We have things going on. And if you can really say, hey, I can give 20 hours a month, we feel that individuals would be more apt to really do those 20 hours instead of committing to 100 hours, and they really can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to get something back from Junior League as well. It's not all about what we can get from you. It's what we can give to you.
Yeah. There was one year, a couple of years ago, where I probably only gave 3 hours the entire year. Like, I just was too busy with work and then other personal things going on where I just did not have the commitment to give to Junior League. And that's another reason why I love the organization, because it's really about what can you do for us, and we want to be able to tailor your Junior League experience around that.
Yeah, because I do think you know, there's so many different ways, you know, I'm involved and have been involved with, you know, for school district and trying to get people involved in PTA. But, you know, I've moved away from the idea that the PTA is the end all be all way of getting involved, because, again, you have no idea what somebody's interested in. You know, like you were mentioning, the woman before who has all these great ideas, sometimes you have to foster those ideas, see what somebody can give back, because it may not be your bake sale or your carnival. It could be, you know, I remember one year there was a mom who said, you know, I'd really love to just come in after school and teach the girls how to braid hair. Why are we not fostering that? You know, That's a parent who's engaged. That's a, you know, an adult figure for those kids. You know, there's an activity that they're getting to learn and have fun. And so I think it's great when you're able to break out of rigidity of, okay, this is exactly what volunteering looks like, and this is exactly how your engagement looks like, and anything short of that, you know, we don't need you. And be able to say, hey, if you can do, you know, 3 hours a month, what can we do to maximize that? How can we, you know, foster what you love to do, but then also benefit us? So I think that's great. So what are the other things, I mean, as far as like, if somebody wants to join Junior League, what's the process?
So the process, they will attend new member meetings the second Tuesday of the month.
Starting in September,
yes. And then also they would attend our general meeting every month. That's on the third Tuesday. So the first meeting, the new member meeting, that's when you're learning about the history of Junior League, what is it that we're trying to accomplish? What are our goals? What are your goals while you're in Junior League? And then the monthly meetings, we're really going to be focused on the business. And then we're going to be doing a lot of personal development and training this year. So we're really trying to, you know, enhance our members' skills in whatever way that means to them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of training this year.
We do have dues. It's $145 a year, and that $145 goes, part of that is to support our national association, which is the Association of Junior League International, and then the other portion supports our day-to-day operations.
Okay, any other requirements up front or just attending the meetings?
You have to just identify as a woman. Other than that, you can be a member. Yeah.
And nice. With the $145, we have payment plans and different options.
Oh, okay. So if somebody isn't able to do the $145 up front, there's still an option to be a part of it.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's good. Because I think when we look at, you know, a lot of organizations, you know, there are some people who, you know, maybe even the women you're working with who are the formerly incarcerated who want to say, hey, this is an organization that helped me. How do I, you know, give back and get involved? But there might be a financial, you know, obstacle there to for them to be involved. So I think that's great. You know, more access and more ability to get involved is really, you know, I think critical. So for those who are listening, what would you say your priorities are right now if somebody wants to get involved? Is it funding? Is it volunteerism? Is it all of the above?
As president, I'm going to say funding. We always need additional funding just to continue to support what we are doing. I cannot stress the fact that every dollar that we raise really do go back to the community. We really would like to increase our scholarship that we give to the young women that are graduating from high school. Mm-hmm. That's something that we would really love to do. We are excited about the Leadership Development Conference in March, and we are, you know, looking for anyone that would love to be a speaker. If you are interested in coming and sharing your area of expertise, that's a great way to get connected. I think that's a really good need as well. And then just connect with us about what's going on in the community. That is always a need. Like, we do our best to have our ears and eyes open, but we don't always know what our critical needs and what's really going on in our community. A couple of years ago, when Courage Connection, which was a Junior League project that we started many, many years ago. So one thing I didn't share is that what we do when we start a project and we get it to a sustainable point where we can pass it on so it can be a standalone organization. So Courage Connection was one of those that we started many, many years ago. And when they were experiencing some financial crisis, we were able to jump in and successfully fundraise a significant amount of money that we were able to donate them. And that was a last minute effort. And so that there are some Mayday opportunities that we can jump on board and be a part and help. We're definitely able and capable of doing those types of things as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important that, you know, one of the things that we see is just shifting of the priorities within the community based on what's going on. Even on a national level, I think we feel that on a local level. So when you have like the Me Too movement, you know that your services here in your community should be strong if you want to address, especially when historically there hasn't been attention given to a certain topic, you want to be able to sustain that conversation on a local level as well. Because if we're talking about it, let's keep talking about it and let's find the resources to apply to it so that if anybody wants to talk about it, whether it's a funder or a volunteer or somebody who needs the services, those are always there. So I think that's amazing that Junior League can jump in and save resources that we really, really, really do need in the community. So when it comes to volunteerism, you know, what would you tell somebody who's interested in volunteering that maybe some of the priority needs are right now in the community?
I would definitely say our Bright Starts, the Kindergarten Readiness Program, just because of the criticalness of it. That is something that we're really hitting hard, and we're really trying to get as many volunteers focused on right now, because school readiness, it continues to grow and manifest into other aspects of your life even when you get older. So we're really trying to focus on that. And then also the healthy living and lifestyle, you know, we're trying to encourage kids to get out and move and play and make good food choices. But we also realize that some of the food choices, you know, the healthy ones are expensive. And we also, during our Kids in the Kitchen program, we try to give affordable, healthy food options, even though affordable options is, to some may seem, well, it depends on your income, but we really look at the median age, the median dollars in Champaign. We look at the poverty rates to be like, what could we go to the store and get if we had this much money for a week? So we really focus on that.
It's great to see that the farmers markets take the link card. I think that's, whoever made that decision, so smart. But, you know, we even see places like Aldi that are now going organic because before, you're telling somebody to eat healthier. But it's cheaper to buy processed food. Mm-hmm. So how do you blame a parent for trying to stretch that dollar when they have, you know, maybe five kids in the family? Of course we want them to eat healthy. You know, no parent ever says, no, we're not worried about that. Mm-hmm. But it can be expensive to shop organically. So seeing, news stories like Aldi going organic, I think that's great. When I first learned about the farmers market in Urbana taking the link card, I thought, again, somebody's thinking correctly about how to stretch our dollars as a community and really as a nation, because I think this is obviously a national problem. So I wanted to talk just a little bit more because I'm very curious about the Little Black Dress Initiative. So tell me more about that, because I'm really excited about this concept.
Me too. It was probably at a conference that we attended where we first learned about it. And I remember thinking, okay, when I'm president, I want to do it. So now I'm president, I can do it. And so it will be the week of September the 16th through the 20th. And our members, and really any person that wants to participate in this initiative, you can. You will have to wear your same black dress or same black outfit the entire week. But we will provide those that want to participate with buttons that says, you know, ask me about my little black dress or my black outfit. And we'll provide some talking points so that they can share about the initiative and the awareness. And again, we're partnering with WIN Recovery, and they'll provide us with some facts and some stats that we'll be able to share. And we'll talk about the items that we're going to be collecting, and anyone that wants to participate can. I just think it's just a great way to just bring awareness to an issue that some people are just not even necessarily aware of, and know that it is an issue, and that this is something that it's so easy to help, right? It's just that it's so easy to go through your closet and Marie Kondo that. If it doesn't bring you joy, get rid of it, and we will take
it. Thank you. I love the way you said that. If it doesn't bring you joy. Because I have a lot of clothes that do not bring me joy. They just pile up, and I'm like,
So we will take it, and I'm sure that there is some other woman in this community that will be able to use it, right? Because I think about my own closet and how I have, you know, items that, because what I've told myself is that if I did not wear it in an entire year in the season for which it was made, then I don't need it.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, and I think, you know, and I've learned this especially after working, not even just with students, but also with parents, you know, there's a lot of, I think, dignity that can be lost when you don't have clothes that you feel represent who you are. When I lived in Chicago, I remember a client for the real estate company we worked for, and she wouldn't shop anywhere off of Michigan Avenue. And I kind of laughed at that all the time. Because, you know, my friends were like, we're going to Old Navy, you know.
Yes.
But it was so funny because regardless of your perspective, you want to look nice. You know, that's part of feeling good about yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think when, you know, like they say, it's a really kind of harsher way of seeing it. But, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Mm-hmm. I think it's possible that, like you said, you just aren't feeling that piece of clothing anymore, but somebody else might be like, hey, I love that. When I introduced my daughter to Poshmark online, she was just like, why are these people getting rid of all these great clothes? I'm like, because they just don't wear them anymore. But this is a great way to generate revenue for yourself, but also, getting rid of clothes that you have. But I think it's great when we also have like our consignment stores that help to get items at, a more of a, reasonable cost. Or when we have events like this where we can just say, you know what, I don't need to collect money on that. I'm good with this going back to somebody who needs it more than I do. So what would you say are the priority items to collect that week? Are we talking just clothes? Are we talking shoes, accessories? Because, that's a woman's life. Everything goes together.
Right. I actually haven't even gotten that far. Thought that far. The idea of collecting the clothing actually hit last night when one of our other league members texted me. And she said, you remember that idea we had over the summer? And I said, oh my gosh, this will be great for a Little Black Dress Initiative. And so, yes, I think you need more than just the clothing. You need the accessory, you need the shoes. I will take any and everything and I will style the women for them, right? Like, I will put it together. I just think it's just so great because, like you said, it makes you feel good when you look good, right? Mm-hmm. And not everyone can afford, certain items and all of the pieces together, and they're trying to piecemeal an outfit together, which can be stressful. And you don't want to be stressful when you're getting ready to go into an interview or what other space you need to go in looking and dressed appropriately.
Right. So. Yeah. I mean, that's stressful enough with those of us who have big closets and right. We always say, I don't have anything to wear. And you have like 10,000 outfits right in front of you.
Right. First world problems.
I know, right? Right. No, I think that's great. That's even something that, I can envision even, high school girls saying, I'm not wearing this outfit anymore. There might be, somebody out there who could use this. And again, I'm always about empowering our youth, because they already think that they have a voice, and really they do. Mm-hmm. They're always on social media. They're always, sharing an opinion. Why not move that in a constructive way where they feel even more empowered to make, changes? Cause I think a lot of times they see everything that we see. They know what's going on. They want to make an impact, but a lot of times they feel like, well, we're just kids.
Yeah.
But there's so much that they can do, other than those projects, anything else that we want to get on everybody's radar?
I would say currently just our CAF grants applications are open now, along with the Community Impact Awards.
Awesome. Oh, and so I forgot to ask this. With the Little Black Dress Initiative, where are they wearing their black dress to? Just every day?
Yeah,
everywhere?
Just okay. Every day. Like, every day. So you might want to tell your colleagues at work that.
It's not that I didn't do laundry. I did laundry.
I'm going to have this on every single day. But it's going to start a conversation, right?
Yeah.
I can just imagine, that Tuesday when I walk in and I have on the same black dress, that I can hear my boss saying, Denise, like, did you sleep here last night? Right. Like, what's going on? Great conversation starter. I'm just really excited about this. And so if there's anyone out there that wants to participate, please let us know. We'll get you a button so that you can wear. We'll get you the talking points. There will be a week of events that we will start sharing later this week that we will publicize for people to come out and learn a little bit more about this initiative and what we're trying to bring awareness to.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I mean, this is definitely one that I would love to spread to all the moms that I know, because we all say the same thing online. I see it on Facebook all the time. I don't have any clothes to wear. Okay, well, then get rid of the ones that you're not wearing. So
yeah,
we're all good. Well, thank you, ladies, for being on the show. I mean, definitely going to continue this conversation, have you on again to hear more about the successes of the newly started programs and see where else we can get involved with Junior League. Because, again, you guys are doing some really amazing work in the community. And, of course, we all want to keep seeing that, keep going. So awesome. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And if you have any additional questions or want to get involved, I would say definitely look at the Junior League website. Have a good night, guys.
Every woman. You're tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. It's almost time for Champaign-Urbana Radio Theater, but first I have just a few announcements for you. First, now is your chance to be on the air at WEFT. Another round of training will happen starting on Sunday, September 15th from 3 to 6 p.m. No experience is required. Pick up an application at the WEFT studio located at 113 North Market Street, or you can download it on the WEFT website, which is weft.org. Bring the completed application to the station or email to airshiftertraining@weft.org. If you have questions, please email. That address once again is airshiftertraining@weft.org, or you can call Vicki at 217-778-1664. Further announcements. WEFT is hosting its annual community party, WEFT Fest, on Sunday, September 8th from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Seven Saints Beer Garden. Enjoy live music and birthday cake to celebrate WEFT's 38th anniversary. Other food and drink will be available from Seven Saints, and there is no cover charge. There will be a raffle and CDs available for a small donation. Four acts will perform, including Big Mo and the Fat Groove, New Souls, the Brad Wheeler Group, and Annika Emily. WEFT and Seven Saints are both located on North Market Street in downtown Champaign, between University Avenue and Taylor Street. We hope to see you there on Sunday, September 8th, between 2 and 6 p.m. If you can't be there in person, tune in to 9.